Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Helles Foundation and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, your weekly look at the Louisiana literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week I'll be talking with Peter Wolfe, whose new book is The Etruscans and the Jews, New Orleans Echoes, Sardinian Shadows, Roman Shame. It's always a pleasure to welcome Peter Wolfe back to The Reading Life with a new book. Peter is the New York Times bestselling author of the memoir My New Orleans Gone Away, one of my favorite titles, and the biography The Sugar King, Leon Gottschalk, a New Orleans legend, his Creole slave and his Jewish roots, as well as many other books. In his new book, The Etruscans and the Jews, New Orleans Echoes, Sardinian Shadows, Roman Shame, Peter continues his pursuit of Jewish history in a fascinating new story. Peter Wolfe, welcome back. I'm so glad to see you.
It's so good to see you and be back.
Now, this is a story that goes all the way back to a childhood obsession of yours. So tell us about the Etruscans and why you were so drawn to them.
Well, as a little kid at Country Day, about in fifth grade, Miss Ellington, our teacher, taught us a little bit about the Etruscans, and we made some models of what their villages might have looked like. And it just stuck with me. Who were these people? And then as I got older, I really didn't hear much about the Etruscans for a very long time until I was in college. But that first introduction interested me, and I don't quite know why.
So you think it was their mysterious disappearance, the loss of, you know, their whole population, or lost glamour to it, too?
I think so. I think she said certain things that intrigued me. She said, "We don't know much about these people."
Yeah.
And we know what their villages look like. We know some of their art. But she said, "We can't read their writing." That really interested me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "We don't know where they came from." And that really interested me. And it just sort of lingered back there, these questions.
Why now? Why did you decide this was the time to pursue this quest? Because it's a quest.
It's a quest. It was a sort of 10-year quest that I started. I got reawakened with the Etruscans when I was in Rome. I was privileged to be at the American Academy in Rome as a visiting scholar, writer, whatever they called me. Mm-hmm. And I started going down in the library. I was there to work on one of the books you mentioned, to rewrite the final draft of My New Orleans Gone Away. And down in the library, there were these books about ancient Rome and even before ancient Rome. And I found myself down there reading about the Etruscans and finding again that very little was known about the Etruscans, except what the Roman authors were saying. And they were saying these are ridiculous people who were savages. And it wasn't like what Mrs. Ellington told us. So I got confused that I'd try to find out more.
You decided to straighten yourself out. I mean, so start with the genetic evidence. I mean, you actually did one of those tests.
Well, the genetic part did figure into it. It figured into how I got so committed that I went traveling to study what I could find out. Here's what happened. You mentioned my book about Leon Gottschalk.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote that, I was very satisfied that I could turn up material that nobody else had found and could write a whole book about him, mm-hmm. a very important man. But I was left with the question, how could this uneducated child who came from Lorraine, France, and then came to New Orleans with no training at all, no education at all, no background, become the most revered retailer and the largest sugar producer in the region?
Illiterate.
And illiterate all of his life. And I decided, I knew about his parents, I knew about his grandparents, I knew about his life in New Orleans. I decided it had to be in the genes, that it had to go back earlier than the life of his that I knew about. So I decided, well, I'm a surrogate for Leon Gottschall because I'm a great-great-grandchild. Uh-huh. I thought maybe I could find out about his genetic background by having his body exhumed, but I couldn't work that out. And because I would have needed the signatures of every surviving person in his family line. So I did my own genetic testing to see what would turn up. And I tried the conventional testing companies, 23andMe, which a lot of people have used,
sure.
Ancestry.com, which a lot of people have used. I think they have like $5 million in receipts every month. They're huge companies.
Oh, yeah.
And they just turned up the most commonplace stuff that didn't satisfy me at all. It told me a little about my background through my grandparents' generation. And just by luck, I hit upon a open study that was run by the National Geographic called Geno 2.0. And it was an international genetic study about human beings in the world. And they were open to outsiders submitting their saliva.
Yeah.
And I got this report back after about 2 weeks. I didn't have any idea what would happen, but I got this most alarming report back and exciting. And it connected me with only two countries in the whole world. It said my background was from Iran and was from Sardinia.
Wow.
Well, Sardinia, this one island off of Italy. So Iran, I understood, because there'd been a lot of Jews in Iran over the years, ever since they were expelled from one place and another. But Sardinia? Nobody had ever even mentioned Sardinia to me. So that set me off to decide to go to Sardinia and see if I could find out how I could possibly be associated with Sardinia. And it was there that I ran into the connections between the Etruscans and the Jews.
No Italian, no.
Sardinia.
Sardinia.
Very specific.
My goodness.
And so I felt like, you know, I'd gone home, but in 500 BC.
Yeah, right.
Like that.
Now, let's be clear. This is exactly the sort of book that's going to appeal to me because it's a great adventure in libraries and archives. And you search through historical documents, you talk with scholars, and then there are the pleasures of spending time in the actual landscapes, looking for physical remains of the civilization from Sardinia and onward. So talk a little bit about that passion that drives you to archives and libraries.
Well, it's a passion. You're right. It's hard work. It's very often disappointing. Because you don't find nearly as much as you want per hour or per day or per month. But it's exciting when you do discover something that hasn't been found before or make a connection through archival work.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely exciting. I remember an example not from this book, from the Leon Gottschall book, when I was in a courthouse up in the country in Louisiana, and I found the actual handwritten contracts for the sale of human beings. And it was staggering to see. But there was a whole book full of them. It hadn't much to do with Leon Gottschall, but it was pages and pages of documentary material about that kind of thing. In this case, the library work led me to understand how much misunderstanding there was. Because if you try to read about the Etruscans, you end up having to read Roman scholars who come 400 or 500 years later, and they didn't like the Etruscans. I think they were ashamed. And I learned about the ways that documentation is actually misleading, and you have to triangulate everything that you find and you think is right. So it just taught me a huge amount of research skill that I employed in Rome, Paris, Berlin, all over the place to try to get what fragments I could mm-hmm. of reality about the Etruscans.
But don't you find the exciting parts of it are a little bit of serendipity?
Yeah.
You know, that you find things by sheer luck just
Absolutely.
Because you're in there.
Well, you do, because if there's a shelf of books, some of them you've never heard of, you weren't looking for,
yeah.
and you start turning pay. It reminds me of Robert Caro's wonderful, wonderful book about research and mm-hmm. his writing process, in which he says, turn every page.
I know.
And it's now the researcher's mantra, because mm-hmm. you don't know what you're going to find, and sometimes it's hidden there.
You have to see that movie about...
Oh, I have seen it.
Isn't it great?
And Caro's a friend of mine, a good friend of mine.
Just fantastic.
Yeah, he's a wonderful researcher and writer.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Peter Wolf. His new book is The Etruscans and the Jews, New Orleans Echoes, Sardinian Shadows, Roman Shame. Now, at the very heart of this book, the thing that moved me the most was this encounter that you had with an artist named Chiara Vigo. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Who practices a very specific art form. And it made you think back to your family history and created in your mind a living link with all this. So
right.
tell us that story.
Well,
it was like getting an audience with a queen.
It is. Well, Chiara Vigo lives in a small house in a very small town off the coast. It's an island off of an island off the coast of Sardinia called San Antioco. And she is, according to her, and then I've checked it several ways, mm-hmm. true. She says that she's the descendant of Jews who landed on Sardinia, listen to this, in 1000 BC, that they came there with the Phoenicians. And, of course, the Phoenicians were the kind of FedEx and UPS of the ancient world. They mm-hmm. transported everything and everybody. And she and her family had lived on Sardinia since 1000 BC in a continuous generation after generation. She remained identified as a Jew until just before the Second World War, when she realized she better change her religion mm-hmm. Because of the occupation of Sardinia by Mussolini and of ultimately the Germans. And what her profession was and is, because she's still alive, is she makes something called, it's a fabric, and it has many different names, but it's a golden, very thin golden mm-hmm. fabric called sea silk. And presumably, according to her and then others that I checked, it was used to wrap mummies in the Egyptian civilization.
Wow.
It was used to decorate very important queens in antiquity. Mm-hmm. She showed us how she makes it, and she intoned the rhythms and the sounds that she uses while she's knitting and weaving, and she basically weaves it on a loom. And that, of course, that connection with the loom sent me back in my memory bank to my cousins and my grandmother, who was a weaver, wove every day, and my great-grandmother and Leon Gacho's wife, my great-great-grandmother, mm-hmm. who was found by Leon being a seamstress and weaver. And I thought, I'm in the presence of an aunt. You know? And she's in the presence of a long-lost cousin
yes.
or something. And we quite hit it off. And I got to watch her also talk to the public who came in to see her. She allowed people in 2 or 3 days a week. She allowed us in for a private audience, basically. And I'd never heard of her. I was taken there, mm-hmm. introduced to her by somebody who organized part of my trip to Sardinia and knew of her. Mm-hmm. And later I found out that the only person who's really written anything about her or authenticated her is the BBC. Had done an extensive interview with her years before, conducted by an expert in early Sardinian history and the travels of early ancient peoples.
Wow.
Yeah. Chiara Vigo.
Now, the other thing you found is validation in physical spaces, like the Alley of the Jews in Alghero. Talk about what it was like to be there and to...
Well, when I got to Sardinia on this quest of how could I be Sardinian, because, I mean, how could I be? I'm now sure I'm Sardinian and Etruscan. There had been nothing written about the Jews in Sardinia. This was another discovery process that I went through and that is reported in this book. Nothing about Jewish civilization on Sardinia. I went there and I got in touch with various archaeologists, experts on ethnicity, trained scholars, and others. And they took me to places that showed me where synagogues had been, going all the way back into the 300 BC, 400 BC, 500 BC, not as far as Chiara Vigo, 1000 BC, but way, way back. And among the places they showed me were streets that were still named the Carrio de Giaria, the streets of the Jews. And then it became clear that there had actually been ghettos in Sardinia, and there were enough Jews that there were whole squares, synagogues, burial grounds, and so forth, and nothing has been written about this. And it turns out that there were Jews all over Sardinia who had emigrated as people who had been dispossessed from the Holy Land, but then later the Romans sent Jews to Sardinia as punishment. And eventually, when the Jews and the Romans were fighting in Jerusalem, Jews as slaves were in Sardinia, working in the mines. And so there was this whole long, very long history that's never been written about, and not in any guidebook either. I think there's sort of shame about it.
And you know, it was my theory. I think sometimes people from New Orleans are uniquely positioned to see things like that. You know what I mean? Because you live in this city where the past kind of shimmers underneath it all the time anyway.
Yeah. And there are a lot of mysteries too.
Yeah. And so if you get a little direction, you'll see it.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, didn't you feel that
I
way?
I do. I think there's a kind of curiosity that we have, because there is so much to explore in New Orleans. If you're at all curious, you learn to have a kind of inquiring mind, I think. And of course, in this book, in this story, I bring it all back to New Orleans. It doesn't end without New Orleans getting in there.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Peter Wolfe. His new book is The Etruscans and the Jews, New Orleans Echoes, Sardinian Shadows, Roman Shame. Well, talk about how you see this as the culmination of your work in these three books.
Well, I don't know if it's the culmination of all of my work.
I know. I don't think so. But
it's the end of a trilogy.
Right.
And it's a backwards trilogy. This last book starts earliest. It starts back in Sardinia and Rome and with Jewish culture and Sardinian mixing with the Jews, and that connects to me. And I have found that what happened at the end of the flowering of Jewish culture on Sardinia, the Spanish, when Ferdinand and Isabel got together and solidified, unified Spain, and the Catholics took over Spain from the Muslims, they issued something called the Edict of Expulsion, which is a well-known historical document. And it expelled all Jews from Spanish lands. That included Sardinia, which was at the time a colony of Spain. It's very close to Spain. It's just across the Tyrrhenian Sea from Spain. And at that point, one of the closest escape routes was from a northern city in Sardinia called Alghero up to the coast of France. And so what I believe happened is many of the, and they were only given 2 or 3 months to get out, get rid of everything, sell everything, and leave by this edict of expulsion. They took ships and went to the coast of France, and from there up the Rhone River to Alsace and Lorraine. And that's where my great-great-grandfather is from, is from Lorraine. So I've pieced together this path that goes all the way back into early, early Roman and Sardinian times, through the Edict of Expulsion, up the Rhone, then a few generations or a few hundred years in Lorraine, and then once the Jews were emancipated in France and things got sort of harder and harder for the Gaccio family, he emigrated to America. And that's how we bring this whole story to New Orleans. He didn't just emigrate to America. He emigrated to New Orleans and in 1840. And so in a way, this book goes from 1000 B.C. to 1840.
Epic.
A.D. Yeah, it's a saga. It's an adventure.
What's next? What do you think you'll do next?
I'm not sure.
Because you have a project in mind?
A couple of things. I wrote a master's thesis here about Jean-Hyacinth Laclot, who was an architect, very underappreciated. And I might try to flesh that out into really finding out who he was and what he did. My wife wants me to write a book about some of the letters that I have from various people that she thinks are very interesting. Oh. So I'm not sure what I'll do.
Everybody loves letters.
Yeah. It'll be something.
All right. Don't quit.
I love writing, and I'm learning about writing all the time.
Well, what did you learn from this book?
As a writer, I learned how hard structure is to to settle. This book actually was going to be the preliminary part of the Sugar King. And it was going to all be one book. And I struggled and struggled with what kind of structure would work that out. And then when I was able to separate them, I then had all this time and all these experiences to try to fit into a story. And what I learned is how hard it is without a character, a central character.
Right.
And a lot of time and a lot of distance to try to make a story. And I realized I had to use myself as the narrator. That's what I learned in writing this, besides all the information. That's just the structural stuff I learned.
Well, and I think you learned a lot about place and how to make the place come alive.
Oh, well, that too. Place and people. I mean, there are a lot of interesting characters that roam through this story.
You got your Indiana Jones.
And in terms of place, there are things like tombs.
Right.
And museums and odd studios and seaside settings and all kinds of places that are really pretty fascinating.
All right. Well, next time, throw in some food. You have to bring in the food.
I know.
You know. All right. Well, we've been talking with Peter Wolfe, whose new book is The Etruscans and the Jews, New Orleans Echoes, Sardinian Shadows, Roman Shame. You can meet him Wednesday, May 7th at 6 at Octavia Books. Peter, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
What's on tap in the literary life this week? The Friends of the Jefferson Parish Library hold their book sale Friday through Sunday, May 2nd through 4th, at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard at the Lake in Kenner. Hours are Friday and Saturday, May 2nd through 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 7, and Sunday, May 4th, from noon to 5. Free admission and free parking. Proceeds benefit the Jefferson Parish Library System. This is one of the largest book sales in the New Orleans area, with more than 65,000 items for sale, including gently used adult and children's books, puzzles, DVDs, CDs, and records. Cash and credit and debit cards accepted, no checks. The Black Ink Book Festival at the Pavilion of the Two Sisters at City Park takes place Saturday, May 3rd from 9 to 2. Meet the team at Community Book Center as well as local authors and publishers. Free admission. Micah Yanis discusses and signs her picture books, The Goblin Goblins, Sunday, May 4th from 10:30 to 11:30 at Octavia Books. Tim Holding discusses and signs Chateau Reawakening, one couple's wild and wonderful journey to restore a crumbling French masterpiece. That's Wednesday, May 7th at 5:30 at Garden District Bookshop. Peter Wolfe discusses and signs The Etruscans and the Jews, New Orleans Echoes, Sardinian Shadows, Roman Shame, Wednesday, May 7th at 6 at Octavia Books. Richard Campanella discusses and signs Crossroads, Cutoffs, and Confluences, Origins of Louisiana Cities, Towns, and Villages. That's Thursday, May 8th at 6 at Octavia Books. Morgan Jerkins signs her new novel, Zeal, Friday, May 9th from 4 to 6 at Baldwin & Company. This is a ticketed event. Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Hellis Foundation, the Jefferson Parish Public Library, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, a state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in The Reading Life do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. The theme song for The Reading Life is by Matt Perrine and Sunflower City. The Reading Life is produced by George Ingmeyer and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at wwno.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@wwno.org.